Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Today's Gospel lesson is about Nicodemus, who comes to visit Jesus in the evening, shall we say. I'll say something different later, but one of the interpretive suggestions about this lesson is that it always needs to be held in conjunction or next to the story that follows, which is the story of the woman at the well. So one interprets the other. We understand who Nicodemus is and what he's up to as we think also about the woman at the well. So kind of keep that in mind, even though I'm not going to read the woman at the well today. But this is the story of Nicodemus. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish people. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the dominion of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the dominion of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, congregation, and children, I'd like to invite you forward to help begin with the gospel lesson and the story. Thank you, guys. We'll count them back there, too. Well, you heard the story about Nicodemus. What time did he come to see Jesus? He came at the nighttime. I wonder why Nicodemus came at night. Do you guys visit folks at night? Maybe sometimes, right? Yeah. Oh, people usually come to visit you. That's right. So why would Nicodemus wait till the nighttime? And furthermore, what was Jesus doing up so late anyway? Yeah. Maybe he was up because he knew Nicodemus was coming. Why would he come at night? You all can think of this too. Probably because he didn't want anyone to see him. I think that's right. You think he might have been a little bit afraid? Was he afraid of Jesus? Maybe. Jesus was powerful. But was he afraid of anything else? Well, maybe that's what we will think about as we go along in the sermon. Nicodemus is afraid of something, I wonder what it is. But he came in the dark. Yeah, he might be afraid of the dark. Remember, there's not street lights out there either. It's dark. And he didn't want anybody to see it. So he came in secret. So, well, why not? Pardon? He was afraid of other people, perhaps. And I wonder why that was. He didn't want anybody to see him with Jesus, I think. Should we be afraid to see Jesus? No, I don't think so. Jesus has welcome and open arms to everyone. And was Jesus welcoming to Nicodemus? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He heard him out and said, well, he didn't say don't be afraid, but that is kind of his message. And that's a message to all of us, to come to Jesus when we have questions, when we have worries, when we have fears. Jesus is always there to welcome us, to encourage us, and give us strength and faith. Thank you all. Well, let's have a prayer together before you go back. Lord, we ask your spirit of faith and truth and confidence to be with anyone who is afraid in the world, who is worried about things in their lives. We give you thanks, O Lord, that you open our hearts to receive us. We ask your blessing upon all the children gathered here this day, and that their life might be filled with confidence and strength, love and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. All say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So, is there life after death? I suppose that all of us have grown up with that question. Even more, we've grown up with that belief. But as I was preparing this lesson and this sermon and thinking about it this past week, and, you know, when I go out to Seattle, that's what I do. I just think about the lessons all the whole time. Here's another question. Not is there life after death, but is there life after birth? I wonder, is that the question Nicodemus had in mind? Was that what he was asking himself and Jesus as he engages Jesus in this conversation? And is the answer to that question, the question of life after birth, what Jesus offers? What Jesus offers after he says, no one can see the dominion of God without being born from above. Born again. Second birth seems vital, necessary to all of us. We kind of understand why when we listen to St. Paul, because he speaks to this issue. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But this appears to be the fundamental reality that we all experience. And I'd have to say, it seems that we are experiencing it a lot these days. There is a spirit at work in our reality, a spirit of exclusion, of segregation, of prejudice. It is both born out of fear and fosters additional fear. So that it's kind of like a spiraling loop when we're headed down, building barriers to relationships. Ignoring God's word, distrusting the promises that God makes. It strikes me also that in our context, there's an additional irony in our nation to read and hear about receiving and embracing a spirit of slavery, inasmuch as our history has been one of continually struggling against the fact and spirit of slavery. St. Paul's assertion is striking, it's chilling. And it's of the moment as we feel a kind of falling back into fear and the spirit that fear engenders. So, I wonder also then with Nicodemus, did he suspect he was not alive? Perhaps he could feel that he was like a zombie, walking dead. For about 10 years now, I've been wondering, what is it about all the Walking Dead shows But isn't it something that's in the back of our minds? We're wondering, we're asking this question. It's our secular, our modern way of wondering about how is it that we are alive in the world? Is there life after birth? Isn't that what those shows are asking? Why was Nicodemus seeking Jesus out? You know, as we look at his life, we might say he had a good life, all the trappings. First of all, he was a male in a patriarchal universe. But he was also a member of a respected group, religio-political group, the Pharisees. He was a leader, it says, a man of power and authority. And I'm making an assumption here, that he was an educated guy and certainly a person of means. And we know that later on, he was rich enough to provide for Jesus' burial. And something else. In the story, he is named Nicodemus. He has an identity. He is not anonymous or invisible, as compared, as I telescoped earlier, as compared with the woman at the well, we never have learned her name. She is anonymous, even though she is lifted up by Jesus as an extraordinary witness of faith. Yet, despite all these trappings of life, Nicodemus approaches Jesus, as the children identified, at night, hidden. Let's call it the dead of night. He comes to Jesus as a man seeking for something, something that Jesus can provide. He seems to be hoping to share in the signs, he says. We see these signs that Jesus does. He wants to share in that life that Jesus brings. So I ask, what are those signs? What is the real sign of God's presence with Jesus the Christ? Particularly as we're thinking about the Trinity this week and Jesus' divinity. It strikes me that Jesus' divinity rests in the sign that he relates to everyone in their humanity. The signs of his divinity are that he brings all to life in his attention, his care, his welcome, his relationship, his forgiveness, which death, in none of its forms, can defeat, which the resurrection itself announces. Jesus is bringing Nicodemus to new birth, life after birth. Nicodemus said to Jesus, maybe we all ask again, how can these things be? And don't we all ask that question? And I'm reminded, I think this was Paul. It's my prayer every morning. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. How can I believe? What Nicodemus needs to do is what the readers of the gospel do, what I suggested that we do this morning. That is, follow Jesus to the next encounter with the woman at the well. Maybe that's the true answer to all these enigmatic questions. All the conversation, isn't it designed to lead us to another human being, to encounter another human being with care and love and welcome, to bring life? Is that the ultimate meaning of the Trinity? At any rate, at that well, Jesus will demonstrate life after birth, being born from above, connected to God the Creator. His divinity is demonstrated in his humanity. True God, true human, we say. That's our confession. It's our creed. Through Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, as a true daughter of God, his divinity is revealed in affirming her true humanity. She is born anew, born from above. Both Nicodemus and the woman need to be rescued from what St. Paul has called, as we said earlier, the spirit of slavery, which causes people to fall back into fear. As the children identified coming at night demonstrates Nicodemus's fear at losing something, at being identified in a different way. But the woman is also wary of speaking with Jesus because of her status as an outsider, as having experienced prejudice and discrimination as a Samaritan woman. St. Paul says, find it, by the Spirit of God are children of God. For we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but a spirit of adoption. That is, new birth, born from above. It's a perennial challenge. Those who implore a spirit of slavery and impose it upon others instill fear because they live in fear. Jesus is trying to lead Nicodemus and all of us back into our humanity, our created relationship to God and to one another. For Nicodemus, it's hard to get there. Unlike the woman at the well who has nothing or little to lose, Nicodemus, it seems, has a lot to lose, and he wants to hold on to it. I can relate to that. I'll let you all answer for yourselves. The answer to the question of why fear and destructive behavior gains ascendancy in cultures is found in Nicodemus. We see the signs, we know what's going on in history, but we do not follow Jesus to the woman at the well or to others who are in need. Even Jesus' disciples, as you recall, thought he was a little crazy about this. Why are you talking to her? Why are you bringing good news to these people? But we are all called to be born from above. And we all ask again with Nicodemus, how can this be? And Nicodemus is right, isn't he? He is right in understanding that we cannot do this ourselves. But Jesus does not give up on Nicodemus or on me or you or on the woman at the well. We all are born from above because Jesus is lifted up. He is lifted up by Nicodemus, by us all who fail God's call to bring life, to bring love, to let the spirit of slavery rise in our hearts. Because Jesus is lifted up, we are born from above, born again in forgiveness, born again in relationship to Jesus and the one who sent him, and guided by the Spirit of truth to bring life, to challenge the spirit of slavery wherever we meet it, in ourselves, in the brokenness of those who long for belonging, and certainly in the systems that promote and perpetuate slavery and fear. For brothers and sisters, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you all have received a spirit of adoption, born again, children of God. Amen.